CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Big day here on Fantasy Football Today. Jamie is on the clock in our Dynasty League, considering trades from four or five different people, including me. Saquon Barkley has agreed to a deal with the New York Giants. That's great news. We can stop worrying about that one. It is Alvin Kamara's birthday, and I forgot to wish Dave a happy birthday yesterday. Jamie, did you?
I did, on the air.
Oh, you wished about? Oh, good for you.
He wished me a happy birthday like four separate times yesterday. Like, the what an amazing guy.
You could have told
me. Much appreciated. But he didn't do the best thing that he could have done on my birthday. That was taken care of by somebody else.
Okay, that's, yeah, okay. Well, I am totally thrown off now. I think that's a food reference. But we also have to talk about the 10 best early ADP values. Five from Jamie and five from Dave. Two of them are tight ends that have something in common. The highest ADOT for a tight end in 10 seasons. More on that a little bit later. That's what they had last year. So let's start with the Barkley news. Then we'll get into the best values, and then we will get into the news and notes. And there are a lot of those, including an update on Kadarius Toney, who's expected to be ready for week one. But Dave, Saquon Barkley gets a deal that's a little bit better than the franchise tag. He can make up to $11 million. So I just want to tell you, I would call his season last year a little overrated. He was RB5 per game in PPR, which is his stronger format. He had 57 catches in 16 games. But if you look at his points per game, in the previous five seasons, he would have been RB8 or RB9 per game based on his points per game. If you take out the Eagles game where he entered the game hurt, he barely played, 31% of the snaps, scored 6 points. You give him 18.3 points per game, that would have made him in the previous 5 years RB6, RB9, RB8, RB6, and RB4 in 2021. So I would say a little overrated, especially the second half where he kind of stunk, but he scored some touchdowns. So anyway, you said on Friday in our live draft, I think you said you'd take him like sixth or seventh if you were in training camp and there were no issues. Where are you on Barkley now?
Among running backs, so I would take him six or seven?
Overall,
that's probably, I'd take him sooner than that if it's non-PPR. If it's full PPR, I've got him currently at 10. So okay. He's behind McCaffrey, Eckler, and Bijan. I remember debating in my head, Barkley versus Bijan. There's no debate anymore. I'm taking the rookie. But he's also behind the surefire wide receivers of Jefferson, Chase, Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs. Those guys have 20-plus PPR point potential. And I don't think Saquon's got that anymore. Now what I'm wrestling with is Saquon versus Tony Pollard, Saquon versus Derrick Henry, and then that next group of wide receivers, Saquon versus CeeDee Lamb versus Davante Adams versus A.J. Brown, maybe even versus Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm happy that he's going to be in training camp. We don't have to worry about him showing up a week before the season and not being in shape. He'll be in game shape. And still, last year was good for him. It was 17.8 PPR points per game. I expect that number to trickle down just a little bit, given all the additions that the Giants made in their passing game. I think that'll help them spread the wealth around a little bit more and not be so reliant on Saquon Barkley. But I hate the schedule. They're taking on the Eagles twice. They're taking on the Cowboys twice. I think those defenses are going to be awesome. They've got the NFC West on top of that. They've got the AFC East on top of that.
Yeah.
And then the Saints, the Packers, those two teams have pretty good defenses as well. It will not be an easy run for Saquon. I don't think he's going to – there's a chance he falls out of my first round in full PPR, in which case he'd be almost a bargain. I expect him to go anywhere between 8th and 14th in every single PPR league this summer.
Okay. The draft we did on Friday was half PPR. I think after Cup came off the board, maybe you were saying you would take Barkley. So that's – you named 8 players. You named 5 receivers and 3 running backs. You did not say Kelce. So with
Kelce's ahead of him, 10. Too. That's obvious.
So that would put Barkley at 10. So, Jamie, how about you on Barkley?
He's going to be a first-round pick. There's just too much still upside with him for what he does. I think he was one of, if I saw this correctly, one of 2 running backs maybe that played 90% of their snaps or 80% of their snaps the entire season last year. I forget what the number was, but he's still their offense. You know, as much as they did make some changes, he's still their guy. And this, I think, speaks to him wanting to be there, which is, you know, the best part about it. I did a poll. Which running back would you rather draft in the first round, assuming McCaffrey and Eckler are off the board? And I listed 4, and I got yelled at for not having 5 on there, which was Nick Chubb. But Bijan, Saquon, Taylor, and Pollard. And Bijan got 37.8% of the votes. It's almost 2,500 votes right now. This was this morning. Barkley was 2nd at 32.3%. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see when you start to get past, which will most likely be the consensus of McCaffrey and Eckler, the next really 6 to 7 guys, you know, depending on Jacob's situation. But Bijan, Barkley, Taylor, Pollard, Chubb, and Jacobs and Henry, who likes those guys better? But the overwhelming response, honestly, was leaving Nick Chubb out. And yeah. I went and just looked because I did a draft with the Fantasy Pros guys yesterday, and they were very high on Nick Chubb. Of the 4 guys that do rankings for them, 3 of them have Nick Chubb as their 3rd running back overall. So yeah. We're probably too low on Nick Chubb consensus-wise for us.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I wouldn't say you're probably too low on him. You might have him appropriately ranked. Maybe they're too high on him.
Potentially.
Yeah, I was wrestling with Barkley.
It's such a good
Chubb.
Setup for him. Like, it's hard for me not to put him higher.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
He's becoming like the running back that's going to get overhyped a little bit. And by the time we get to mid-August, he could be like
What are the flaws? Like, I mean, he's been so good with Kareem Hunt, and now Kareem Hunt is gone. They're talking about using him more in the passing game. It's still a very good offensive line. The offense as a whole should be better because Deshaun Watson's clearly an upgrade over any quarterback that they've had, you know, since he's been there. And so it just, you know, if you're going to judge based on what he did with Deshaun Watson last season in that small sample size, you're making a huge mistake. Because
yes,
even though he did
sure.
not score, they were forcing the ball in Deshaun Watson's hands to see what he could do coming back from the suspension. It was as plain as day. And Nick Chubb is now in such a great spot. It's probably his last big season. You know, I'm changing. I'm putting him higher.
In PPR,
Hold on, wait. Let me see if I can talk even further into it. Do you know what he averaged with Brissett last year?
1 billion points.
18.9. So a little lower than 1 billion, but still really good.
Better than Barkley.
Better
than Barkley, even if you remove the Eagles game from Barkley.
It was also a career year for Chubb. Almost 1,800 total yards, 13 touchdowns. He played 17 games. I think it's the 2nd time in 4 years that he played a full season, so he didn't get hurt. I love the guy. He's super talented. At least 14.5 PPR points per game each of the past 4 seasons. He seems super safe. And if this is true about him getting more work in the passing game, then it'll be justifiable.
All right, so I think that's where this comes down to here because, you know, in a non-PPR league, I think Chubb over Barkley, dare I say, is an easy call. Is that an easy call, Chubb over Barkley in non-PPR?
I don't have it that way, but yes, you can certainly make the case.
Half PPR is tough. They scored almost the same exact amount of points per game last year. Full PPR, you know, again, Barkley was better than Chubb by 1 spot, number 5 versus number 6, but it depends how you want to treat that Eagles game. You take that out, he was 2 points per game better than Chubb. And the catches are the reason why. So, you know, and the thing is, you say, oh, well, he doesn't have Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt had pretty much no role last year after the first 5 or 6 games. He had something like 5 carries per game. Someone's going to get those. Chubb was a workhorse, but will he catch passes? I know they're talking about him being used in the passing game more, but we've heard that before. They also said Jerome Ford is good, you know, is looking good in that role too. So, how big is the gap going
to
be?
Barkley in PPR over Chubb.
Okay, But you're still going to do it? You're still going to take Chubb over Barkley?
I'm going to take Chubb over Barkley.
Okay. All right, let's move on and talk about the Podcast Awards. If everybody wouldn't mind, please pause this show and go to podcastawards.com and vote for us, Fantasy Football Today, or nominate us, whatever stage we're at here. And you can, yeah, it's nominating. But People's Choice Award, Best Male Hosted Podcast, and Best Sports Podcast. Just go to podcastawards.com, give them an email address, takes 30 seconds. And then those three categories, People's Choice, Best Male Hosted Podcast, Best Sports Podcast, please vote for us. Dave's birthday was yesterday. Alvin Kamara's birthday is today. That is relevant because we were talking about Alvin Kamara. As Dave has him, as their kind of birthday buddies, as one of the best values right now.
Leo, represent.
Yeah. Jamie's on the clock. Let's take a quick look at this. This, I think, is super interesting. We started our Dynasty Startup, our Startup Dynasty Superflex PPR draft yesterday, and we've made 7 picks in 24 hours. But that's all good, because there have been 3 or 4 trades, and Jamie is on the clock right now. And the first 7 picks have been Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and then 2 non-quarterbacks, Justin Jefferson and Bijan Robinson. And that brings Jamie up to number 8, where he plans on taking Justin Herbert. But the guy picking number 9, a very shrewd fantasy manager who I respect a lot, also wants Justin Herbert, and that is me. So what am I willing to give Jamie to move up 1 spot? And Dave, if he takes Justin Herbert, I could take Ja'Marr Chase, and I could also take Justin Fields, and I could take Trevor Lawrence. Right now, I'm leaning Trevor Lawrence. The question is, in a startup dynasty league, how big of a difference is there between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert? What do you think?
Well, who am I trying to help here? Am I helping
fantasy
the
managers.
Fantasy manager that you respect a lot, which is you?
Everyone out there.
Or do I help my partner for 16 years or so at CBS? I don't think that there's a huge difference between the two of them. I don't see either one of them fizzling out at any point over the next 5 years. So I would not pay very much to move up 1 spot for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I was going to give him a 2nd round. I was going to make the offer of my 9th pick, which he has the 8th, move down 1 spot, and Jamie would get my 2nd round rookie pick next year. Would you take that deal, Jamie?
I would certainly consider it in the next 20 minutes.
You know what? I think I'm just going to go with Trevor Lawrence. I think I'm fine with it. So you can go ahead and either take another trade offer, or you can take Justin Herbert. What are you going
to
do?
I got some interesting ones. You want me to share?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
So I got one that was, they both basically the same. One was Lamar Jackson, who's already been taken, for my 1st round pick and my 2nd round pick. So
no,
that's a no-go.
And that's in this. Remember, we're doing the startup dynasty draft, which is 21 rounds, I think, maybe 23. So he's talking about his 1st and 2nd round picks in this startup dynasty. Any future picks would be just rookie only drafts, which are 4 rounds. Go ahead.
Correct. And then I got also basically the same deal, which is Joe Burrow for those same picks.
Nope.
No, there's just not a big enough. Herbert's such a great pick for you. So why are you? Why? Let me ask you this. This is, you know, for everyone. You have Justin Fields ranked ahead of Herbert in your redraft rankings. Why are you taking Herbert over Fields in Dynasty?
Well, I first off, they're very close. So if I was doing projections, they would be very close. But I think whenever you're talking long-term, the running quarterbacks have the same issues that they've had forever, which is the injury risk. And we already saw it last year with Justin Fields. You know, he hurt his shoulder when he got tackled. So I know Herbert dealt with the rib injury. You can make the argument as well. But I just think long-term, Justin Herbert's career span is safer. And so it's a close enough ceiling with a higher floor that I just feel more comfortable in this format, in a dynasty format, long-term format, with Justin Herbert. If this was a redraft league, I would take my chances with Fields for the 1 season because I think he's going to pop. Not that Herbert won't, but again, it's just, you know, minuscule in terms of the season-long points. It would be a little bit more dramatic in terms of the long-term value. Honestly, if we were to make that deal, it would be a tough call between Lawrence and Chase for me, because I'm torn between Herbert and Chase right now, you know. So
So take Chase.
No. No.
Yeah. No, Chase would be tough to pass up, but man, I just feel like if I don't take a quarterback in round 1, I'm just,
it's hard.
I'm going to lose this year. I'm going to be bad this year. I feel like, you know, it's possibly, well, all right.
It's not just this year though. Again, it's long-term. Like you have a tough call as well between Lawrence and Chase, because again, you know, Chase, we assume tied to Joe Burrow, is going to be a superstar. You made the argument, which is hard to, you know, disagree, that he's even better than Justin Jefferson, because you know, he's tied to his quarterback forever, you know, at least, you know, the majority of their careers. Whereas Justin Jefferson at some point may have a rookie quarterback, and that could be ugly for a year or two, depending how that goes there in Minnesota. So I don't necessarily think it's a horrible strategy, but for me, I just love the setup of Justin Herbert. I think this year he's going to have with Kellen Moore is going to be special.
All right, let's get the 10 best early draft values. And oh, Jamie took Justin Herbert. Now I'm on the clock. All right, I'm just going to I'll see if some trade offers come in.
That's it.
There we go.
Yeah, you got to wait.
Yeah. I guess it gets a good trade offers. Okay, so among tight end, usually I use 50 targets as the floor is the, you know, the measuring stick for tight ends, but Darren Waller only had 43 last year. So among tight ends with 43 or more targets, Kyle Pitts and Darren Waller had by far the highest ADOTs. Now, Jamie's going to make the argument that Darren Waller is one of the best values. Dave is going to talk about Kyle Pitts being one of the best values here. Their ADOTs were way too high. We don't really have to talk about this, but they had the highest ADOT for any tight end with 43 or more targets in the last 10 seasons. It was over 13.4 yards for both of them. And that's just crazy. And I think they'll have more success with a more reasonable ADOT, even if it's, you know, 11, 12, something like that. But it just too high. You just don't see successful tight ends with that high of an ADOT. Why don't we start with the tight ends then? We'll go a little out of order here. And Jamie, you're going to say Darren Waller, who's tight end 7 at 75th overall, according to NFC average draft position in July. And Dave, you're going to say Kyle Pitts, who is tight end 5, but only 5 picks ahead of Waller. So they're going in the same range. Jamie, you can start. Tell me, if you believe this, why Waller is better value than Pitts.
I think they're both incredible value. But again, you know, if we're talking about a tier and getting a guy at the end of a tier, I would, you know, rather wait to see if I can get Waller later, depending on where I'm picking. Now, clearly ADP is a little skewed by that because of how close they are. But I just think that the setup for Darren Waller, if he had not, but let's just, and again, you can play the same game with Kyle Pitts, but if he had not gotten hurt the last 2 years and had continued to produce at the level he's at and switch teams still, you know, just because the Raiders wanted to move on from his contract, we'd still be talking about this guy as a top 3 tight end. And he's still got that upside. I know he's a little bit older, and I know the quarterback change may not favor him to the same level of what he was able to produce with Derek Carr in that offense. But I think people overlook Brian Daboll's history. He used to coach tight ends. He used to be on the Patriots staff when they had Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez there. There's a lot to love about this offense and what it should be able to do. And you've certainly seen plenty of jokes and heard plenty of jokes about what this offense looks like. There's 55 slot receivers, two outside guys that, you know, don't have the best track record in Slayton and Hodgins. And Darren Waller was their prize acquisition in the passing game. And so if he stays healthy, he's going to challenge to be one of the top 3 tight ends. I don't doubt that. And so if he can stay on the field, if he can be what he's capable of doing, I think there's a huge ceiling in front of him. So the later guy for me is the better value.
And Dave, so it goes Pitts, Goddard, and Waller all within 5 picks of each other. And you put Pitts on there instead of Goddard, instead of Waller. So if they're going around the same range, you think Pitts is a better value than Waller?
I think he's got more upside than Waller. And both of these guys are behind George Kittle, which is really what shocked me. Kittle shouldn't go ahead of Pitts. And I think in PPR, he probably shouldn't go ahead of Waller either. But I'm not a big fan of either of the older tight ends. I love that Kyle Pitts was top 10 among tight ends in targets per game. A 28% target per route run rate last year. That was 22nd among all tight ends and wide receivers. Just a huge number. His ADOT was deep. You talked about that. He averaged 2.9 yards of separation per NFL Next Gen Stats. His problem last year was that Marcus Mariota couldn't find him. 30 targets of 11 plus air yards, 16 of them were deemed uncatchable by True Media. It's a nightmare watching that film because he's open. He's schemed well and the ball is thrown and it's a miss so often. Very frustrating. The problem is that Desmond Ridder actually had a lower adjusted completion rate last year on deep throws and intermediate throws compared to Marcus Mariota. But where Ridder can win now is on those shorter throws. You talked about the ADOT going down. I think we're going to see that across the board in Atlanta. I think we're just going to see shorter throws and not as many deep targets. if Ritter is accurate, Pitts will get schemed open and hopefully he'll have a lot of yards after catch. I think he's got great upside. I love his schedule and I love him to be the top target getter in Arizona's offense. So I will take Pitts. I don't mind Pitts in like round 5-6. I think that he's got that type of upside to finish his tight end two this year.
He definitely has more upside, but I don't think he plays for Arizona.
Why is it Arizona? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But at least I didn't say the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
I did say the Eagles won the Super Bowl yesterday on yesterday's show. I said the Eagles won the Super Bowl. That was weird. Nobody corrected me. So it's on Jamie and Heath too. But they did not win. I just watched the game again. They did not win the Super Bowl. So, Jamie, do you agree, though, that Pitts has more upside than Waller?
Oh, if he hits, for sure. I mean, you know, this is a freak of nature, but he's, you know, able to do as an athlete. The problem is his quarterback and his offense. I mean, you know, that's huge negatives for him, which is just unfortunate. You know, unless Desmond Ridder is going to completely surprise us, or as Heath, you know, sort of alluded to yesterday, does Taylor Heinicke get the opportunity to start at some point if Ridder really stinks? They're going to run the ball still so much. And now you have these two, I don't want to say they're alphas yet because they haven't proven it yet, but they have two guys in this offense that command targets. In an offense that's going to run the ball 550-plus times again would be my guess. Why else would they draft Bijan Robinson? Plus what he's going to do in the passing game, which is certainly different than what the guys they had last year, no matter what you think of Cordarrelle Patterson as a pass catcher. Bijan Robinson is probably better at this point. And so I think just all these mouths to feed in a run-first offense just lowers the ceiling of what Kyle Pitts could be. And believe me, I'm drafting plenty of Kyle Pitts. I love this. Like I said, I think this is great value for him in this spot. And so I took him in the Fantasy Pros draft that I did with the guys there yesterday. I took him in the Scott Fishbowl. I'm taking Kyle Pitts if I'm looking to win my league. But I feel the same about Darren Waller as well. So I think both those guys have immense upside. One is just younger and at the start of his career, and that's, I think, where the difference is.
You mentioned that the offense and the quarterback were strikes against Kyle Pitts. How much better is the offense and the quarterback for Darren Waller with the G-Men?
Dramatically.
No way. I don't think
you're taking Desmond Ridder over Daniel Jones in any scenario?
They were very close in adjusted completion rate on intermediate throws last year. And short throws, I will check. Jones was at 83%. I don't know if it's fair to necessarily compare. He was ahead of the Falcons, guys. Mariota was terrible at 77%.
I was going to ask the same question, honestly.
I'm not going to say that it's dramatically better. I'm just going to say that they're a little... The Giants offense and Giants quarterback, it's better. But, I think dramatically, I think that you're talking like... You know, like 10 spots better, something like that. I think their offenses are kind of going to be the same, but maybe a little bit more concentrated targets in Atlanta compared to New York. I think New York's going to continue to spread the ball around. It's one of the reasons why I'm not excited about Waller.
Okay. Well, that's a little tight end discussion here. We will talk about Anthony Richardson, who is QB 16 in average draft position on NFC right now. And we'll do that right after this quick break on Fantasy Football Today.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Welcome back. So, Jamie says he likes to draft Kyle Pitts. He also thinks Anthony Richardson is a good value. All right, we got Gators. We got a Gators theme.
Where are you on Kyle Trask, Jamie?
Hopefully he never sees the field for the Bucs.
There you go.
Anyway, Richardson, QB 16. It's just, I was thinking about this last night. I was just so shocked after the NFL draft when you guys had your first run of rankings. that I'm pretty sure all three of you, the two of you and Heath, I think you all had Richardson as a top 12 guy. And I just never really thought people would do that, really. Back in April or early May, whatever it was. But you guys still have that, and drafters are not feeling the same way. So, Jamie, you got Richardson would be a great value if you could really get him at QB 16.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, and I think as we sort of alluded to yesterday with the group of quarterbacks that we talked about following Dak Prescott, you know, when you talk about Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and Geno Smith and Daniel Jones and all these guys, that if you compare them with Anthony Richardson, you're in a really good spot. For me, I think, you know, if you're looking for what Richardson can be, you're hoping for the legs of Justin Fields and the second year throwing of Lamar Jackson, because he's not going to be a 4,000 yard guy. That's just not, I think, realistic. But if he can approach 3,000 yards and still run for 1,000 yards, he's going to, as we said about Lamar Jackson that season, break fantasy. And so that's the hope. Now, more realistically, is can he be a 2,500 yard passer and still run for 1,000 yards? And I think that's doable. You know, so Fields last year was 2,250, right around there, and 1,200 yards rushing. You know, he just missed the rushing record that Lamar Jackson had. So anything close to 1,000 yard rushing, anything close to 2,500 yards passing is going to put him in the top 10 conversation, especially if the touchdowns are significantly different or close to, you know, a good enough margin where the turnovers don't crush him.
I looked this morning at the other mobile quarterbacks and
look at these projections. There's no way that's what happens.
These projections are 2,930 yards, 17 touchdowns, 20 interceptions with 981 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns, which would make him QB 17. And I think people forget about the turnovers because you're not even seeing a fumbles projection here, but I would bet that there would be a lot of fumbles for Richardson, like a lot of these guys in their rookie seasons, and the 20 interceptions, if that's, and I could see him throwing 20 interceptions, you know, if he's going to play 17 games at quarterback. The turnovers could get him, but I just want to go through some of the other extremely mobile quarterbacks.
I'm pretty sure that would only be the second guy ever to go 29-9.
2,900
passing yards and 900 rushing yards. Because Lamar's the only guy to go 3,000, 1,000.
Yeah. All right. So Michael Vick made only 2 starts. Cam Newton was a top 5 quarterback, both overall and per game. He was right around 5th as a rookie. And he had his best passing season ever. His most passing, his only season with 4,000 yards, I think. Lamar Jackson, look at the 7 starts he made as a rookie. He would have been, per game, the number 9 quarterback in 4-point, the number 18 quarterback in 6-point. Kyler Murray was 12th in 4-point, 14th in 6-point per game as a rookie. Jalen Hurts only made 4 starts. He got pulled early in one of them after the third quarter, but he was pretty good. He scored 20 or more fantasy points in all 3 of the games he started and finished. And Justin Fields was terrible. He wasn't even in the top 30. So it really runs the gamut from elite in Cam Newton to low-end starter in Kyler Murray. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. I would say format-dependent. Jalen Hurts, only 4 games, but very good. And Justin Fields, horrible. But, you know, the numbers that you're talking about with Anthony Richardson do what Lamar Jackson did, what Justin Fields did, I just got to point out, Jamie, they didn't do that in their rookie years. You're asking him to do what those guys did second years.
Yeah. No, it's unprecedented. But, you know, I think, again, when you look at who he's being ranked around and the position that we're talking about, and I'll say this, you know, I'll go back to the show we did about lessons learned. I'm falling for it again, the shiny new toy. This is the position, though, you shoot for upside. The guy I was talking about was Trey Lance. You know, so you're shooting for upside here. And when you compare him to Prescott and Watson and Cousins and Geno and those guys and what they're capable of doing, those guys have a much safer floor. You know, Geno's got a new toy to play with on top of what he had last year with Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. You know that Kirk Cousins is going to be in an offense that throws the ball a lot. He got a new toy as well. So there's lots of things to like about those guys if you want to take the safe route. I think it's easy to pair Anthony Richardson with someone that's still got plenty of upside. We saw Jacob Gibbs do that in one of our, I think it was our magazine draft, if I'm not mistaken. So that draft you'll see on the shelves in your stores. But he took, I'm pretty sure he took Richardson and then went back-to-back and took Lawrence. And the question I asked him, because we do a Q&A in that format for this for the magazine, was it your intention to draft 2 quarterbacks back-to-back once you took Richardson? or was the value just too good on Trevor Lawrence? And he says he believes that Richardson has a higher ceiling than Trevor Lawrence, but Lawrence has still a very good range of outcomes and a safer floor. So I don't think most people are going to go that type of pairing unless the ADP holds and you're taking Lawrence first and then you're getting Richardson later, which is certainly a great way to go if that's the way your draft falls. But most likely you're going to see Richardson with one of those quarterbacks past Dak. You know, I think you're in a great spot as well.
Yeah, there's just so many quarterbacks who can give you 20 to 22 per game that we've already talked about. Dak, Deshaun, Cousins, Geno, Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Stafford might even be able to get you there. That's why I just have Richardson ahead of that group, knowing that I can get a second one to go with him. You have to make that commitment on draft day. But it's just like you said, Jim, you're shooting for the upside with Richardson and you get somebody with a high floor later on.
It's just easy. There are two quarterbacks that you really, I think, need to take a backup with, and they're going to probably be ranked in a similar spot. It's Tua and Richardson.
They're back to back.
They're ranked similarly, but this conversation is about ADP.
No,
he is your backup, Richardson. He's not you don't have to take a backup with him. He is your backup, right?
Yeah. And if ADP holds, and that's what we see middle of August, and I said this yesterday, like I in the show that we did in regards to risers and fallers from training camp, I wouldn't be surprised if Richardson, and I had him as a faller initially because I was looking at rankings, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's people that are drafting him the way we have it ranked and targeting him as a top 10 quarterback. And then he has some stinkers in camp that people, that you know, the media there says he's just off, he's not hitting, you know, his targets, whatever. Minshew's taking more first team reps, you know, the way this narrative can go. Mm-hmm. Or in any preseason action, if he does play, he looks awesome. And then 16 at ADP gets cut in half, and now he's being drafted as the number 8 quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think fantasy managers that are against taking two quarterbacks will look at Richardson. Because there's a lot of people out there, I only want one quarterback, I'm only drafting one. They'd rather save that roster spot for another position.
Well, it's people that only have 5 bench spots. That's hard.
Right. They're not going to take Richardson, or they shouldn't, unless it's like an 8-team league, and you know that guys like Stafford, Russ, Jared Goff, they'll be on the waiver wire.
All right, let's move on here. And let's talk about the next guy on Jamie's list, which is Khalil Herbert, who is RB37, yes, being picked in about the 9th or 10th round. Was reading a training camp preview from ESPN's Courtney Cronin. And Courtney Cronin said, even if it doesn't manifest itself by week 1, it would not be surprising to see the rookie Rashawn Johnson supplant Herbert at some point this season. The Bears were drawn to Johnson for how he handled a multitude of roles at Texas, including catching passes out of the backfield and being a 4-phase special teams player. His biggest impact is in pass protection, an upgrade he could provide over Herbert and Foreman. And this is something that Heath's been harping on, why he's not super high on Herbert. But Jamie, you still have Herbert as one of their best early values.
At 37, yeah. I think he probably belongs about 5 or 6 spots up. I'm with this report. I'm with Heath. I think if you can get one of the guys from this backfield, you want to take the last one. So if we really were talking about best values, I think Roshan Johnson is certainly on the table. You know, I think I said this from the draft. Like, he's the guy I'm most interested in this Bears backfield. But I think if Herbert does hit, then you're going to be probably disappointed that you didn't take him a little bit sooner, because they're going to give him the first opportunity. Look, he's the guy that's been with the team. The other two guys have been brought in, whether it's draft or whether it's as a free agent. Now, the flip side of that is obviously this regime inherited Khalil Herbert. They didn't draft him. This regime drafted Roshan Johnson. And he's I want to see if I can find somebody like this. I wonder if what the situation was at Penn State with the guys there, because they had a very crowded backfield. But, you know, guys that profile like Roshan Johnson, which didn't have a lot of work in college because they were behind a superstar, and then all of a sudden they get this chance in the NFL and they take off. So he's definitely the more intriguing of the two, but I still think this is great value for a guy that, if he is the starter for the Bears, this is going to be a much better Bears offense across the board, you know, because the passing game should be better with DJ Moore there, Justin Fields just continuing to grow as a passer, and then now this opportunity. He looked great in the times that he replaced David Montgomery. We talked about this. You know, I know you, Adam, is a big fan of Khalil Herbert because the metrics say he's better than David Montgomery was. And so can that carry over now if he gets a full-time role? So he's going to get the first crack at it. Hopefully he takes advantage of it. If not, Roshan Johnson should be one of your late-round dart throws for sure.
Or you could just drop both of them.
if you want to go that route, sure.
Yeah. Draft Herbert first.
What about Foreman?
Through the first third of the season, and then Roshan might be there for the last third.
Yeah, but you're forgetting Foreman, about Foreman, right? I mean,
Foreman's going to have third? A role or chance to earn the job as well. I know. I think I saw a report in Aaron Wilson, who covers the NFL in Houston. I guess he just had his camp there recently, and he was talking about his opportunity to go in there and win the job. It's a wide open backfield. It's not Herbert's guaranteed to be the guy for the full season. Again, I think he'll get the first crack at it. He'll get the first carry in training camp. He'll probably get the first carry week one. If he struggles, the other
two
guys
are going to
be right
there. He's taking that carry to the house. 75 yards, touchdown on first play. Yeah. Jahan Dotson, wide receiver 38, being drafted 84th overall. Is this your favorite Commanders at any position? Commanders value Jahan Dotson, Jamie?
Unless we're talking super flex or 2QB league and Sam Howell. But I love the setup for Dotson. I mean, you can certainly make an argument that he might be better than Terry McLaurin. I don't think he is as a player, but he might be a better fantasy asset. And so we'll see how Sam Howell's able to, keep these guys afloat. Is he good enough to, make Dotson and McLaurin both, potential starters? I think both are worth drafting as starters in three receiver leagues. I would still draft McLaurin first, but Dotson was very successful last year, especially finding the end zone. And so is that something that can carry over to his production this year? So he's closer to wide receiver 30 for me than he is for 38. I think there's just a lot of upside here. So to get him at 84th overall, to me, is a steal.
All right. Dave will get your thoughts on your guys pretty soon. Let's talk about one other wide receiver I think Dave would share in this sentiment. Gabe Davis, wide receiver 41. Average draft position is 90th. And last year he was wide receiver 24 per game is wide receiver 28 in non-PPR, 38 in full PPR. We know he dealt with injury. We know he dealt with quarterback injury. Gabe Davis, do you share in that, Dave, that Gabe Davis is one of the best early values as wide receiver 41?
No, I agree with the ADP at 90th overall. I think he's going to be, I think he has the upside to be a good wide receiver 3. I just don't think he's got the same type of upside as what we saw from him last year. The additions that Buffalo made this offseason suggest that he won't get that grip on a big target share. And I'm just not buying that Gabe Davis can explode in this iteration of Buffalo's offense. Good player, but I think he's going to be more of like a perimeter downfield shot type of guy. And you're hoping that he catches those downfield shots with an occasional red zone touch or target in Buffalo. I think that this ADP is fine. I don't think it's a value. I'm more excited about Dotson. I would take him probably 10 spots sooner than the 84th ADP. And I'm more excited about Herbert, who I'd probably take maybe even 20 spots higher than the ADP that they have listed. But what, 108 it was for Khalil Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd go higher on Herbert and Dotson than I would on Gabe Davis.
All right, Jamie. So why do you like Gabe Davis's value so much right now?
Yeah, I almost completely disagree. You're talking about a guy that really his situation hasn't changed, I think, at all. They made one offseason addition that matters, and it's Dalton Kincaid. And I think you're just going to see him, sort of usurp the targets that were there for the non-Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs guys, because those two guys are locked into the same roles that they had. And this is a player that we were drafting for the same upside that he has. Plus, he's entering a contract year. And these are the type of guys we talked about this earlier. He's going to be 25 years old when he hits free agency. And these guys tend to get paid, the downfield players that have his type of speed. So I think Gabe Davis is going to be a better version of what he was last year. Still has the same type of potential to be a breakout receiver. And you're getting him 60 or 30 spots lower than his ADP was last year. He was 60th overall last year on our site on based on his ADP. So you're attaching yourself to Josh Allen. You already know the narrative that they're trying to rein him in to stop running as much. So if he doesn't run as much, then maybe there's some more opportunities for Gabe Davis. We know what happened last year. He had the ankle injury early in the season. Probably was not right until that Pittsburgh game. By the time he started to get going a little bit, Josh Allen hurts his elbow, and then the passing game completely goes in the tank. So I think he's still worth the same upside. And to me, he's a guy that I don't disagree with the ADP because you're still taking a chance on him, but I'm going to draft him a lot sooner. So I love the setup for Gabe Davis. I think he's
what round?
I would probably start looking for him as depending on how receivers are going, but early is round 6. Love to get him round 7.
Okay, so round 6 if receivers are going off the board and like it's a 3-receiver league, something like that?
Yep. I don't want to draft him as a top 2 guy, but as a third receiver, if I miss on someone that's a little bit safer, he's perfect. Like, I'll reference this Fantasy Pros draft that I did yesterday. He was my fourth receiver, you know, so love that. Yeah. Setup.
So would you rather have Dotson or Gabe Davis? David, obviously, I'd rather have Dotson. You'd rather have Dotson too.
Yeah. In PPR. In non-PPR, I'd take Davis.
This is something that gets a little overlooked. Josh Allen, before his elbow injury, he was averaging 37.3 pass attempts per game and was on pace for 5,100 yards and 40 touchdowns. After his elbow injury, 33.6 pass attempts per game. It's about, I already forgot the number, about 3.5 less, 3.7 fewer per game. On pace for 3,995 yards and 34 touchdowns. You're talking about 1,100 yards difference there.
Do you have his ADOT difference?
No, but I do have one of my favorite stats. If I can, if you give me 1 second here, I'm sorry. It's actually in the note. It's actually in the notes. Okay, oh, pass attempts of 35 plus yards. Weeks 1 through 9, Josh Allen had 13 pass attempts of 35 or more yards, and 5 of them went to Gabe Davis. After the elbow injury, weeks 10 through 17, 4 pass attempts of 35 or more air yards, 2 to Gabe Davis. So I always make the case that killed him. That killed Gabe Davis. That was his role. Yeah, I mean, I can't see Gabe Davis being consistent, but I could see him being the best big play wide receiver in football. Is that, you know, the best, like the best boomer bust deep ball wide receiver in football, like a Marvin Jones type of guy in his at his best. Or Mike Williams, but like a little bit worse than that, a little fewer targets. All right, let's take a break here. And we'll go to Dave's list of best values. Ooh, Tony Pollard. Yeah. Talk about him right after this.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
All right, Dave, if I could repeat the noise I just made, it was, ooh, Tony Pollard. He is first on your list here of best values, which I think was just done in terms of ADP. I don't know if you think he's the best value, but it's going 22nd overall. He's RB7. So that's kind of different. RB7 and 22nd overall, I mean, that's just kind of late for RB7, I think.
Do we think that's realistic, though?
I do think it is. Where did he go? Didn't we do a draft last week, Jamie? Where did he go in the draft last week?
I drafted him, which was like 15.
Yeah. That should be the latest he goes.
Okay. Are you sure it wasn't like 22?
Not 22. I'll tell you right now. I'll check.
Nah, you're probably right. Yeah, I think if Derrick Henry went 24th in that draft, so I think Henry or Pollard or
these
Jacobs
guys are being viewed differently,
falling.
Though.
Of course.
Right, but they have similar ADPs on the website we keep referencing. But all right.
I took him 18.
Okay.
Ooh. See, I think that that's a great value.
Go on, Dave. Sorry.
He's got a golden opportunity to lead the Dallas Cowboys run game, which has been awesome for fantasy for well over a decade. That includes being workable near the goal line. As an example, last year, Zeke was there. He had 19 touches inside the 5. Pollard had only 7. We know that he's an elusive playmaker on the ground, through the air, should be over the broken fibula. He had the tightrope surgery, should be good to go for training camp. How about he led the NFL in touchdowns of 20-plus yards. No one else, at least a running back, had more than 3. 12 touches of 20-plus yards, 9 of them carries, 5th most among running backs. Dude's awesome. Should see more work this year. Plays behind a great offensive line. And this is baby spoon, small sample size. But in 2 games without Zeke in 2022, I mean, just massive games, at least 21 PPR points per game then. And he's just got this huge opportunity. I buy into him. Contract year for him because he's playing on the franchise tag. Certainly could expect the 26-year-old to finish top 5, if not top 3, at running back, given his profile as a pass-catching, do-it-all type of running back. You're just counting on him having that goal line role. As long as there's nobody like Ezekiel Elliott on that depth chart, and right now there really isn't, I think Pollard can get there. If you're getting him in mid to late round 2, it's an absolute bargain.
I'm so curious to see where he's going to fall, where we'll rank him consensus-wise, and where people will draft him if Zeke signs.
And the latest we heard on that was that it was unlikely. That was the latest report I saw, at least on Zeke coming back. So I was thinking of the mock draft we did on the air last week on Friday, which was 12 listeners, only listeners. It was a half PPR mock draft, and Pollard went 20th overall. And he went to the guy who took McCaffrey in the first round.
Oh, awesome.
Right. And like, I said it at the time. I don't really love RB. I love it on paper at the end of
drafts. I love it when it's
but,
that.
But it doesn't seem to work out. However, I would never pass up RB if Tony Pollard were my second RB. That's amazing.
I did the same thing. I'm trying to, who did I take first?
Saquon?
I took Bijan.
Bijan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you probably didn't think Pollard would be there in round two.
No, no chance. I was planning receiver the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you knew Pollard were there in round two, like if we start seeing more evidence that this ADP sticks, then I wonder if you would you consider taking like Stephon Diggs over Bijan Robinson or something like that, or Kupp or whoever.
Oh, if you know you're going to get him, probably not. But I could see the strategy there. I just think the more likely scenario is you're going to get you're going to see Henry, Chubb. I think Pollard is going to end up being a first round pick.
Okay. So
we're closer to the top 15.
Next up on Dave's list is Damian Pierce. He's RB24 with an ADP at 68.5. He was number one among running backs with 100 or more carries in avoid rate last year. He's good at that, but he had one of the worst offensive lines in football. According to Pro Football Focus, the Texans generated the fewest yards before contact in the run game in 2022. They added Shaq Mason. Maybe that will help. But tell me why you think Damian Pierce at RB24 is great value.
He was on pace for almost 1,500 total yards and 7 touchdowns last year. I know that Devin Singletary is there. This guy is a better running back than Devin Singletary overall, and certainly for the scheme that they're going to run. They're looking at outside zone, wide zone, stuff that the 49ers do. I think their offensive line will be better for that. And I think the offense in general will be better. They've got a better quarterback in CJ Stroud. Don't love their pieces in the passing game, so I think that they're going to try and lean on their running backs. And I think Pierce is their best bet in short yardage, as well as just getting more work than Devin Singletary on a game-to-game basis. I think he's good. You mentioned the elusiveness. That was behind the fourth worst graded offensive line in football, which you mentioned. He did what he did last season despite averaging below 1 yard before contact per rush, which tells right. you how bad the offensive line is and how good Damian Pierce is. I'm happy to take a chance on him before the end of round five.
Okay. Next up on the list is Juju. Or did I skip someone? I know you had Pitts. I feel like Kamara.
Pitts and Juju.
I knew the birthday boy. I'm sorry, Alvin Kamara. So this is so tough, obviously. He's RB31, and even in the last 7 days, he's RB31. Everyone's just bracing for a suspension. One thing I always like to point out about Kamara, in his last 2 seasons, he does not have a run longer than 30 yards. It is a pretty big red flag, especially for a guy who's 28 today. Happy birthday. Yeah, so
what, happy birthday, you suck.
Or, he might, but he's also had a bad offensive line the last 2 years, so those things could go hand in hand. But what do you think about Kamara here as RB31?
This is not me saying that Alvin Kamara is about to bounce back and be a top 12 or maybe even a top 18 type of fantasy running back, but I bet in the games that he does play, he can finish top 24 in PPR. And so getting a running back like that after 90th overall or wherever his ADP is, I just think it makes sense. I am worried about him having 80 catches. I think that ship sailed. Worry about him having 10 touchdowns. There's no way he's going to get that with everybody else that's there. But I think he'll lead the Saints in carries. I still think he's more explosive than Jamal Williams and Taysom Hill and Kendre Miller and everybody else that they have there. So they're going to lean on him when he plays. And when he does come back, at least they'll have fresh legs once he gets there. It's not a bad schedule because he's playing in the NFC South. I think he can be okay. Yeah, I think everybody's kind of between his age and this possible suspension, nobody wants him.
Yeah.
And that's why his ADP is so bad. But I'll take him at this spot in ADP every time.
Yeah, I do worry that I'm not going to draft any Kamara and I'm going to really regret it. Jamie, do you have that concern?
I don't have that concern. I just don't think that this is... I think running back 31 is realistic. I don't think that the overall is realistic from what we'll see. because I do think that we're looking at, again, this ADP is pushing down running back so far. So we'll find out once the suspension happens. Hopefully it's, you know, for people that are in his camp are going to get a 2-game suspension. A 4-game suspension will probably drop him lower than this. Obviously anything more than that is going to be crushing for him. But I do think that their backfield is better from what we saw last year. It's definitely better. You know, Jamal Williams is an upgrade over what Mark Ingram was at the end of the season. Obviously, Kendre Miller has got a chance to, you know, maybe be the spoiler in all this, just in what he's capable of doing as just fresh legs. And then you still have, as Dave alluded to, the Taysom Hill factor. Plus, their passing game is going to be better. You know, so that should hopefully help Kamara in maybe getting back to his reception total. I agree with Dave. He's not going to get close to 80. But are the goal line chances going to be there for him? That's sort of been...
No.
You know, I have great numbers. I have great numbers on that. Go ahead, Jamie. I can back this up with some numbers, but go ahead, make your point.
Yeah, no,
on
it's
that.
Just it's, you know, you have the gadget of Taysom Hill, and now you have the guy who led the NFL in rushing touchdowns last year. You know, that's not a good thing for Alvin Kamara when you're talking about will he be able to consistently find the end zone. So he'll have his share of touchdowns, but he looked a little off last year. Who knows how much of the situation, you know, weighed on him? Because remember, this scenario happened following last year's Pro Bowl, not this year's Pro Bowl, you know, so this has been in the works for a long time. I hope he can get back to still being, you know, a consistent fantasy producer, but he's not going to crack my top 24, even if there is no suspension. And I'll be happy just to draft him as a flex. I think that's where he is.
So in his 6 seasons, he's had 4, 13, 7, 12, 9, and 4 carries inside the 5-yard line. So only 4 last year, and that actually led the team. He had more than Taysom Hill, but before that, the previous 4 seasons, he had 13, 7, 12, and 9. And only one of those years, I want to say, was he a real workhorse, right? So he's always had respectable numbers there. Last year, the Saints had the 2nd fewest carries in the NFL inside the 5-yard line. They had 12. Only Seattle had fewer. So I definitely expect this to go up. Kamara had only 4 touchdowns last year, 2 rushing, 2 receiving. So I know that he does have competition, but I still expect more than 4 carries inside the 5-yard line per 17 games, you know? Okay, I don't know what the suspension will be. Let me ask you one more question about Kamara. So let's just say Saquon Barkley were facing a suspension, and the Giants actually got some pretty decent production from, you know, any running Breida. Back that they put in. Breida, Gray, whoever they're throwing out.
Jerry Brightwell.
Yeah, I think no matter what, Barkley comes back and gets 90% of the touches, you know, as soon as he's back. If Kendre Miller and or Jamal Williams do well in an audition, does Kamara have that same status where he comes in and the other guys just become completely irrelevant?
No,
you think that they could actually win a piece of that job of significance?
I think Jamal Williams already has that piece locked up, and I think it's a high leverage piece. It's the short yardage goal line area.
Okay.
I think they want to improve there. And I think that Jamal Williams can do that for them. But I think there's no the coaches will see that there's no comparison when they're outside of low red zone between Kamara and Jamal Williams, who the better, more talented, more athletic running back is. We know that. It's Kamara. One other point on Miller. I believe he's on the PUP list.
No, he's
so
off.
I'm not even sure
he's
if he'll
off.
Be ready. He's off?
Said as of this morning.
He was on the NFI list. He wasn't on the PUP list.
Okay. But he's off of it now and he's practicing again? Okay.
Yeah, back today. And he was on right. NFI because it was a college injury, so those don't
got
the
it.
Pup list.
All right, well, yeah. I appreciate that info. We'll see if he can get himself a piece of this pie too.
We got one more guy, Dave. Give me 2 minutes on Juju Smith-Schuster.
Why I don't even need 2 minutes because I'm not the biggest Juju fan. But when I saw him going at 118th overall, I said, "I'll take him." He's got a chance to be the target leader for the Patriots in PPR. That could mean as many as 12 points per game if he's getting a slew of work. And isn't the slot receiver in New England a good thing? Haven't we come to kind of learn that about the Patriots offense? I think Juju will line up there quite a bit. And as wide receiver 51 off the board, happy to have a guy like this on my bench, even if I only use him 4 times a year on my fantasy league. It just makes sense to get somebody who's got this kind of volume at 120th overall.
I'm so curious what they're going to do because, you know, you're hearing, you know, more 12 personnel for the Patriots. And so with 2 tight ends on the field, who's coming off? And so is it going to be Tyquan Thornton, which probably makes the most sense as a young receiver, but also he might have more upside than any of these guys. Is it Devontae Parker, who we know has had clearly his concerns and missed time last year with injuries? Or is it Juju, who just doesn't make sense as an outside guy? And so is that where he's going to lose? Because clearly his best strength, as Dave alluded to, is playing in the slot. So somebody said this on the Fantasy Pro Show yesterday, which I thought was interesting. Does Mac Jones, clearly not the same level, and that was clarified, but does Mac Jones and this Patriots offense get the losing Urban Meyer, getting Doug Peterson boost that Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars offense got because you're losing the guys that they had there? And still Mac Jones was a first-round talent, and getting just better coaching and better system with Bill O'Brien, that just helped this entire Patriots offense. For me, for the most part, I'm fine with Juju in this range. He's just not somebody I find myself drafting. I think we've seen since his first 2 years in the NFL how poor he's played for the majority of it. He did have some good moments last year with the Chiefs, but if you're not producing in that offense, I can't see him producing in this offense. And so
in the Chiefs offense, Jamie?
Yeah.
But wouldn't you say he did produce before the
11.6 PPR points per game?
He had basically four good games. And I know the concussion, we talked about this, did that maybe just knock him back to a point where he wasn't right? They didn't trust him. They didn't feel comfortable. You know, whatever the case, what was going on there. But he just was not the same post-concussion. I think it was against Jacksonville when he got hurt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If he's not still, you know, we keep saying, oh, he's still young. I think he's past that point already at this point of still being young. You know, he's younger for his time of service. But I just don't see this offense making him better. I think he just is what he is at this point.
He had five games over 15 PPR points last year. That's one more than Gabe Davis, and two of them came after his concussion. And again, I don't think it's an apples-to-apples comparison with Kansas City and New England. I do agree that getting Bill O'Brien as their play caller is going to lift them. Like, I make fun of Bill O'Brien constantly. He's a good play caller, just not a great head coach. I think Juju's got that legit shot at getting 120 targets this year.
And look, even if he is who he is, wide receiver 51 is really...
right. He was wide receiver
36
on a per game basis last year.
Okay, so I forgot the news and notes, so I will get to that tomorrow. We're talking about different strategies for different formats, and we're doing some buy or sell tomorrow. Kadarius Toney, Adam Schefter said that he re-aggravated a knee injury. He had off-season surgery on it, but is expected to be ready for week one. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow, plus what the Packers are saying about Jordan Love, what the Jaguars are saying about Travis Etienne, and there will be plenty more news to come. You guys gave me 10 great values. I wanted to give just one honorable mention for me, and that's David Montgomery, a guy that I really... say almost nothing positive about. But one thing I love about David Montgomery is his ADP. He is RB29 going 79th overall. And if you look at the guys behind him, who's guaranteed to get more work? James Cook, Alvin Kamara, Antonio Gibson, AJ Dillon, Samaje Perine, Brian Robinson, Jamal Williams. You know, I think Montgomery is the starting running back, at least to begin the year, and has a chance to crush this ADP. And I don't even like David Montgomery that much, but RB29.
Great offense.
Yeah. And if he's a bust, it's not a total wait. He's not going to be a bust in week one. Right? He's going to have to struggle to be a total bust. He's going to get his opportunities. But
Gibbs is just that much better.
Yeah, but even in week, like they're going to work Montgomery and they're not just going to give him like,
seven by week one. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Right. He's going to have a chance to prove himself. And 80th overall is not so bad. If you just like have a crappy draft pick there. All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. I'm now getting some trade offers for pick 9 and Superflex.
Oh, anything good? Yeah. Anything good?
Round 2. Let's see. Oh, let me see what it was. It was round 2, and that's 18th overall. So I'd be giving up the 9th overall pick to move down to 18 and collecting a round 5 pick, 55 overall in the startup.
That's a no. That's a no.
Yeah.
No.
Even though Dave's not in his draft, it feels like Dave's making all these trade-offs.
Wait a minute.
All right, goodbye, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to
to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.